Thank you for tuning into the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah. And today we will be discussing some texts from the book of Galatians and the Gospel of Luke. And part of our discussion around the Gospel of Luke is going to be involving the concept of identity. And I've told you a little bit about myself in previous podcasts. If you're new, welcome. If you've joined us before, thank you for returning. I've mentioned in terms of credentials that I went to a Lutheran seminary called Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary in Berkeley, California. You might be tired of hearing me say that. I'm kind of tired of saying it, in fact, because it's a very long thing to say. But a little bit more about me and my identity. I grew up in Montana. I am the youngest of three children, and I moved to California for seminary, back to Montana for my first call in a church in Missoula, Montana, and then back to California for my second call. So I've moved around a lot. I've also lived in Pennsylvania and Texas. None of these things describe fully who I am, my entire identity. As we journey together through this podcast, you'll probably get to know me a little bit more. But that's just a few things about me as we get started. As I've said before, a reminder, my religious tradition does follow what is called a lectionary cycle. So if you're wondering where I get my texts from, I get them from this lectionary cycle, which means that there are assigned readings for each Sunday. The readings come from the Old Testament, the Psalms, the New Testament, and the Gospels. And it's actually a three-year lectionary cycle. So every three years, those texts repeat. And I'm following that assigned lectionary for this podcast, just to give myself some place to jump off with you, an idea on what text to talk about each week. So I'm excited to get started with you today, but first we have to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be talking about this week's text from Galatians.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's gsmcpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We're going to start today's episode with a reading from the third chapter of Galatians, verses 23 through 29. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. That's the reading from Galatians chapter 3, again verses 23 through 29. And this is actually one of my favorite passages from Paul. I kind of have a love-hate relationship with Paul because sometimes I get really frustrated reading him. He makes me roll my eyes in irritation. And other times he just has some really lovely, beautiful words that speak God's truth and God's love to me. And this is one of those texts. It's also a good reminder to me not to just pick and choose from the Bible, because if I only focus on those verses from Paul that annoy me and ignore their context, whether we're talking about the context of the time that they were written or their larger context within the writings of the Bible as a whole, then I'm missing the point. We miss the point when we just choose to focus on one verse or one section where we either are really in love with that text or we're really annoyed by that text. We have to look at the bigger picture and not just have such narrow laser beam focus that we then miss out on the wider narrative. And I'll move on from that soapbox now, but it actually does speak to this text as well, because if we just focus on the six verses we read here, then we might come to the conclusion that Paul is completely against the law and is encouraging his congregations to ignore it. If we simply read these texts or these verses out of context, we wouldn't quite understand what Paul is talking about. If you joined us last week, you might remember that we only have half of the letters that are being written between Paul and his congregation, and that the letters are part of an ongoing conversation. So Paul is writing in response to specific incidences within the Galatian community. And if we back up even a couple of verses to verse 21, Paul has written, "Is the law then opposed to the promises of God? Certainly not." So just two verses back, if we hadn't backed up, we wouldn't see that Paul isn't saying we're opposed to the promises of God. The law isn't opposed to the promises of God. They're not mutually exclusive. He's not saying that the law should be ignored because of the promises we have in Christ's resurrection. Rather, he's arguing that we have a different relationship to the law now because of those promises. He talks about the baptized being clothed in Christ, which might sound kind of weird, but I like to think of it as being surrounded by God's love for us, as displayed in the promises of Jesus' death and resurrection. So if clothes are something that you put on that surround your body, then the clothes of Christ are Christ's love, God's promises that we wrap around ourselves. If you listen to the first half of this week's episode, you might remember we were talking about God's reaction to the people of Israel, how God was frustrated, moved to anger and punishment, and then moved back to the promises made between God and Israel, and then acted with mercy. And we saw in those few verses from the book of Isaiah how God constantly seeks to be in relationship with us, going to whatever lengths necessary in order to facilitate that relationship. In terms of seeking that relationship, finally God sent Jesus to be the fulfillment of all of the promises and to solidify that relationship and make it stronger. So what came before Jesus isn't nullified, but the relationship has shifted as God creates a new way, as God seeks yet another way to be in relationship with us. And so Paul is seeking to write about that, knowing that we have entered into this new relationship with God because of the promises made through Christ's death and resurrection. Paul is saying that the law isn't nullified either, but again, things have shifted, and we have to think in new ways about our relationship with God and about God's relationship with everyone. It's no longer only the Jewish people included in God's promises, which was very hard for many people in the Jewish community to come to terms with, as Paul began reaching out to the Gentiles, including them in the mission, in preaching the gospel to them. It became more difficult to figure out how the law fit together with God's promises. As more people were told about Jesus and became followers, the law began to shift to become more inclusive. Paul is saying not to throw the law out, but also not to let the law overshadow and negate the love and grace present in the promises of Jesus. Paul's trying to tell his churches that there is no longer Jew and non-Jew or Gentile, because grace covers us all. The clothing of Christ surrounds us all, covers us all. And he writes one of the most beautiful parts of the gospel of the New Testament when he writes, "There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus." I love this. All of you are one in Christ Jesus. I wonder how often do we forget this? How often do we create a we and them mentality because we are convinced that our interpretation of the law, or our interpretation of God's will, or our interpretation of what we believe God is telling us is the correct one? Sadly, we still have a long way to go in terms of creating this sense of everyone being clothed in Christ, of everyone receiving the same promises from God. One saying that I like to keep in mind at times like these, I can't remember exactly how it goes, and I tried to look it up, but I couldn't find it. But it goes something along the lines of, whenever we create an us versus them mentality, then Jesus is always going to be with them. And that's not exactly how it's phrased. Again, I tried to look it up. But the idea is that Jesus came for everyone. Jesus associated with the outsiders and the sinners and the people who were seen as unacceptable. We're always reading in the New Testament how Jesus is associating with people that were seen as unacceptable, that people couldn't understand why he would associate with those people over there. Jesus came for us too, but we can't be so arrogant as to think that we are the only ones, that we are somehow elite, and that people who are different from us are then somehow outside of the circle of God's love and grace. And it's so easy to do that. It's so easy to think, God came for me, so I must be right and those people over there must be wrong. We tend to forget that God came for them too, or that Jesus came for them too. This text from Galatians reminds us that there is no us and them. We are all one in Christ. We are all clothed in Christ. And believe me, there are people in this world that I do not want to be included in the same group as. I don't want to associate with them. I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to argue with them. And yet, I have to remember that God loves them too. God doesn't just love me. God doesn't just love people who think like I do. God loves everyone. And it's kind of scary when you think about it, this radical love and inclusivity, and yet it's also amazing and comforting, I think, because it means that God loves me, even though I don't deserve it, even though I screw up all the time, even though I am so far from perfect that it's laughable, God loves me. And just take a minute to take that in. God loves me despite the fact that I'm not perfect. God loves me despite my screwing up on a regular basis. God loves me in spite of all of my flaws. And that is the core of my identity, which is actually a perfect segue into the Gospel of Luke for this week. But before we get into the Gospel of Luke, we are going to take a quick break. So stay tuned and we will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, we were talking about the passage from Galatians where Paul speaks about there being no more Jew and Greek, no more slave and free, no more men and women, etc., how we are all clothed in Christ, and how this has become our new identity, being clothed in Christ, being one in Christ. And it's a really good segue, as I said, into this week's Gospel from Luke, because there is some idea of the concept of identity in this Gospel. And so this week's Gospel reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, and it's verses 26 through 39. Luke writes, "Then they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As Jesus stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time this man had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, 'What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me.' For Jesus had commanded that the unclean spirit come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus asked him, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'Legion,' for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So Jesus got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. And this is the gospel from the 8th chapter of Luke. And there's a lot of layers to this story. I mean, it's a fascinating story in and of itself, but I think in a lot of ways, today's gospel story is about identity. And so I told you a little bit about myself at the beginning of this podcast. I would ask you, how do you identify yourself? When I was in a congregation, I was Pastor or Pastor Sarah. At my current job, I'm just Sarah. I don't have a title that precedes my name when people address me. I got married a few years ago, and so my last name changed, although I did hyphenate because I wasn't willing yet to Not yet. I just wasn't willing to give up that part of my identity included in my maiden name. It had been a part of me for so long, and I knew I was taking on a new aspect of my identity, but I wasn't ready to give up the old part of my identity. So my last name became hyphenated. I'm also a sister, an auntie, a friend, a wife, a coworker. We have all these aspects of our personality. I'm a lover of shoes, of books, of chocolate. Definitely chocolate. I love sci-fi and fantasy. I love the Beatles. But these parts are in no way the sum of the whole of me. How do we describe a person's entire identity? How do I describe my entire identity? I think the easiest way to describe my entire identity is to say, I am a child of God. That is my whole identity. That is the title that describes all of my parts, whether it's my relationships, my likes and dislikes, my career, my vocation. I am a child of God, loved and named by God. And so the gospel reading for this week is in many ways about identity. In the story, it starts out with Jesus crossing the sea from Galilee to Gerasene. But when we really look at this, he crosses more than that. He crosses more than just the sea. He's crossing boundaries as well because he's traveling into a Gentile, which means non-Jewish territory. And this is something that a Jewish rabbi or teacher would generally never do. So Jesus is crossing boundaries physically. He's going into a place that normally wouldn't be expected of him. And then when he gets to the other side of the sea, he's confronted by this man who is said to be possessed of many, many demons. So many demons that they simply describe themselves as legion. Jesus asks the man his name and the demons answer for him and they say legion. This man's identity has been completely taken over. His own identity is gone. He doesn't even have the ability to speak his own name. Now, when you're reading through the Bible, there are plenty of nameless people, but this man's story feels worse than simply not being named, because his identity has been all but wiped out due to these demons in his life. He's described initially as being a man of the city, but now he lives in the middle of nowhere, among the tombs and among the dead. He doesn't wear clothes, he has fits. No one wants to be around him because he's scary and dangerous, both to himself and others. And whatever his identity used to be, it has been completely taken over by this legion. He's a very sad man when you think about it. It's hard to think about living like this man has been living. And it can also be hard for our modern ears to hear stories like this because we don't necessarily believe in actual possession by demons. But think about it. We do still speak of our personal demons. And each one of us could list those things in our lives that take over. Those things which, if left unattended and unhealed, can all but eliminate whatever identities we had before. And don't we also tend to define ourselves in terms of our deficiencies and our setbacks, our disappointments and our failures? How often do we define ourselves by what we're not than by what we are or what we can do? Not always, of course, but we do it enough to rob us of the abundant life God hopes that we experience and share. Often when we want to take a risk or be vulnerable, we are reminded of every failure, every disappointment that we've experienced before. I can speak of this one from personal experience, actually. There's that little voice in my head that reminds me of all the times that I've screwed up or I've done something embarrassing. And that little voice says, why would you even bother trying again? Why would you do that to yourself? Just stick to your comfort zone. Don't try to put yourself out there. Our personal demons are the things that plague us and hold us back from not only our own identities, but from life among and in the communities that we once inhabited. If that little voice in your head is saying, don't bother, don't put yourself out there, people are just going to laugh at you, or they're going to tell you that you're worthless or that you screwed up. You're being held back from the community that could embrace and love you. So it's not easy to talk about many of these things, but when you think about your life and your relationships, what are some of those things that hold you back from community? What are some of those things that take over and rob you of your identity as a child of God? What are some of the things that block out the good news that you are loved and named by God? For me, I can categorize a lot of my own issues under the simple word of fear. I tend to want to be a perfectionist. I want to always do things right. This all stems from fear. It's the fear of failure. It's the fear of hurting someone else. The fear of saying or doing something wrong. The fear of ruining something by my lack of perfection. And really, when you think about this, that my being imperfect is going to ruin everything, it's a little narcissistic, right? Because I can't control what gets ruined for everyone else. I can't control everyone else's emotions and feelings, and yet I'm putting all of this pressure on myself that somehow I am responsible for everything. I am responsible for making everything perfect. And I discovered this fear as part of my chaplaincy training. One part of seminary in the Lutheran Church is that you have to do a chaplaincy training, usually about 10 weeks, often in a hospital, although it can be in another kind of setting. It's called CPE, Clinical Pastoral Education, and I did mine in a children's hospital in Dallas, Texas, and in a lot of ways it was an amazing experience, but the first week I discovered my fear because they sent us up to our floors and said, go talk to people, and I thought, but I haven't been trained. You haven't told me what to do. I need to know what to do right. I need to know how to be perfect about this. My initial fear was of going into rooms with closed doors because, you know, closed doors mean don't come in. And I learned later that in the hospital setting, if you don't go in a closed door, you'll never visit with anyone. You just have to suck it up and knock on the door and walk in and introduce yourself. And so fear kept me from trying to bring God's love and healing word to the people on my floors. It kept me from entering into community. And the logical part of my brain knows that I can't do everything right. Of course not. The logical part of my brain knows that it's not my job to fix everything. But this fear can be so powerful that it can take away my ability to recognize my identity as a child of God. It can take away my ability to recognize that maybe I do have something to say to the people who are on my floor. Maybe they just need someone to listen to them as they face this scary experience in the hospital with their child. I was so focused on myself and my own fears that I wasn't remembering that I was there for them. And it reminds me that as a child of God, I'm not perfect, of course not. But God has given me gifts and abilities and loves me into places where I can use those gifts and abilities. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about this, but first we have to take a break. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, we were talking about identity and how fear, in my case, can take away some of that identity as a child of God, can prevent me from living fully into my identity as a child of God. I get so fixated on my own inadequacies that I forget that God has given me these gifts, that it's not all about me, that I can be of help and service to others. And then in today's gospel story, we have this story of Jesus who comes to Gerasene and performs an act of healing on this man with the legion of demons. Jesus gives the man back his identity without the demons. And Jesus does this for us as well. Jesus comes to us across boundaries that most people wouldn't cross and heals us of the things that stand in the way of our remembering our identities as children of God. When Jesus healed this man, the man was so grateful that he immediately asked to come back with Jesus. He wanted to spend his time in the presence of the man who had given him back his identity. But Jesus has other plans for him. Jesus tells the man that rather than coming with him, he is to stay where he is. He's to go back to where he came from and share his experience, tell people what he has seen and heard and what has been done to him. He is to use his healed identity to share the love of God with everyone we meet, with everyone he meets, excuse me. And it's interesting in the story how the people of Gerasene ask Jesus to leave when they hear what happens because they're afraid. This amazing thing has happened, and yet they're afraid because something unknown has happened. They can't see the joy that has come out of this event. And so I think this is probably part of why Jesus tells the man to stay and tell and share his experience, because the people are afraid. But maybe if they can hear from the man himself, maybe if they can see what happened to him, then they'll be able to see how he was healed and how Jesus crossed those boundaries to restore him to his identity. And you know, we're no different. We too are healed and made new by God's love, and then we are sent back out into the world, to the places where we come from. We're sent back out newly healed and restored to continue to share God's love, to tell our stories to the people that we meet, to share our stories so that hopefully people we meet won't be afraid of something that's different, won't be afraid of something they don't understand, because they can see through our experiences, they can understand through our experiences. When I was at my last congregation, I met with the preschoolers twice a week for preschool chapel. And one of my favorite things to do with them, in fact, once I started it, they wouldn't let me stop. If I forgot to do it during the week, I got in trouble. Was I had face crayons. It's like face paint, only it's in the form of a crayon. And I would mark them with the sign of the cross. And as I would mark them with the sign of the cross, I would say, "Remember that you are a child of God." And they would make me do this every week. And I actually started doing it with my VBS kids as well. And you would think that kids who are in grades older than preschool up through junior high wouldn't want this. And some of them didn't, but the vast majority of them would ask me when they came back for years following in camps, "Are you going to give us the crosses?" And so I would mark them with the sign of the cross and say, "Remember that you are a child of God." But I don't actually have to do that to everyone. If I could, I would give you the sign of the cross. Of course, I can't do that through a podcast, and I don't actually have to do it because you already are marked with that cross, whether you can see it or not. Your identity has been established. You are a child of God. And this identity as a child of God means that you are loved beyond measure. Jesus says to us again and again that we are more than the sum total of our past failures and disappointments. We are God's beloved children. We are forgiven of our sins. We are healed of our disappointments. We are blessed with an open future. I want to say part of that again. Jesus says to us that we are more than the sum total of our past failures and disappointments. Of course, they play a part in our life. They'll always be part of us. But we are more than that. Our identity is not made up of just those little things. We are God's beloved children. Even though there are so many voices trying to possess and discourage us that we might call them legion, those voices don't have the last word. Against all of them stands the still, small, but mighty voice of the one who still crosses oceans and boundaries to tell us of God's love and to call us back to our own minds and grace-filled identities. And so what I hope that you can take away from this gospel text today is your identity as a child of God. You don't need that crayon drawn on you, that crayon mark drawn on you every week. If you need something visual, there's all sorts of things that you can do, whether it's a cross necklace or anything that makes you remember your identity. But you need to remember that your identity is as a child of God. And I hope that you're able to rejoice in that and rejoice in God's love, because God really is woven through all of your existence. God's love is woven through our very lives. Our identity is as children of God. And God's love is woven through all of the texts that we've discussed this week. They might not all have been about identity, but they did all include God's love. So to recap, both today and the first half of this episode, in Isaiah, we were reminded that even as children of God, we don't always pay attention to God. We tend to take our relationship with God for granted, ignoring God's telling us, "Here I am, come, be in relationship with me." In Psalm 22, the tables were turned, if you remember, and the psalmist was the one pleading for God's attention. And then the psalmist realized that God's safety and help were there all along. The psalmist realizes that God is helping him. He calls out to God, and God's love is there. And so his lament turns to joy and praise in the realization that God is there. In Galatians, our identity as children of God was described as being clothed in Christ. We were reminded of how we are all the same in Christ, all beloved children of God. And finally, in Luke, we are reminded that there are so many things in this world that can lead us to lose our identity as children of God. So many voices, both outside and in our head, trying to break through that love, break through that identity, tear us down, make us feel less than what we are. There's so many things literally and figuratively that lead us away from ourselves and the love that God gives us. But because of God's love, because of God's desire to be in relationship with us, because of God saying, "Here I am," we are always being made, being healed. We are always being made new in God. And so I hope you can take that with you into the rest of your week. I hope you can remember that you are a child of God. You are in relationship with God. God says, "Here I am." God says, "I love you." And that's actually all the time that we have for today. It's not a bad place to end on, right? God says, "I love you." Remember that you can find all of the Golden State Media Concepts podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. It's not just the Bible study podcast. There's a variety of topics, so I'm sure you can find something that interests you. You can download the podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, and SoundCloud, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. Thank you again for joining me, and remember that you are a beloved child of God.